At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. The Gospel of the Lord. In today's first reading from the prophet Zechariah, it reminds us of what happens at the very beginning of Passion Palm Sunday, when we commemorate Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. In fact, this is the verse in Scripture that Jesus is fulfilling as he tells his disciples to go and find that donkey for him to ride into Jerusalem. But I think there is another message from this scripture reading that I think it's appropriate for us today to meditate on. Thus says the Lord, rejoice heartily, O daughter Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter Jerusalem. See, your king shall come to you. A just Savior is he, meek and riding on an ass, on a colt, the foal of an ass. Obviously, the first part of this reminds us of the rejoicing that occurred when Jesus entered into Jerusalem. After all, he is the king of the universe. So he is coming into that city. He is also our Savior. But it's interesting the way that he comes in. He doesn't come in like a conquering king who would be on the largest steed, all decorated up. He doesn't come in with an army surrounding him. He comes in on a donkey, the foal of an ass. He comes in meekly and humbly, even though his victory over sin and death outweighs any other military victory that has ever occurred in human history. He shall banish the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The warrior's bow shall be banished, and he shall proclaim peace to the nations. Whenever we think of peace, especially on a worldwide scale, we're thinking of an absence of war. We're thinking of an absence of conflict. But Jesus' peace goes deeper than that. His peace comes from knowing that he has conquered a greater enemy than any other country or any other ruler. The enemy of sin and death that has plagued the human family from its very beginning. The enemy of sin and death that has kept us for too long from our rightful place in heaven, where we were destined to be when we were created. That is how Jesus brings peace, knowing that our final destination is attainable, eternal life in heaven. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. This also reminds us that Jesus is King of the universe, not just King of Jerusalem or King of Israel, but King of the universe. And so his offer of salvation, his offer of peace, extends to each and every human being. We are then presented in today's gospel reading the phrase, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." What is our burden? How is it that Jesus gives us rest? At a previous parish that I served as pastor for 5 years in Lawrenceburg, there was a round window, and it was located right above the doors on the center aisle that led into the narthex and then, of course, out the church itself. And at the edge of that round window was that phrase I just read, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." But the center of that round window had an image of Jesus. Jesus was decked out as a king, a crown on his head, the finest garment. He held out his hands in this manner, almost beckoning us to come to him, as the verse says. But the interesting thing is, when you look closely at those hands, you can see the nail marks from the crucifixion. Jesus is reigning as king because of what he did on the cross. Jesus is reigning as king because he embraced the cross to win the gift of salvation. Jesus reigns as king because he said yes to his heavenly Father's plan of salvation, even though it meant his suffering and death before he was raised from the dead. That brings us to the virtue of humility. Humility is defined in the Catechism as the virtue by which a Christian acknowledges that God is the author of all good. Humility avoids inordinate ambition or pride and provides the foundation for turning to God in prayer. Jesus was the exemplar of that virtue of humility. He embraced God's plan. He said yes to God's plan. He totally put his life into his heavenly Father's hands. And for that, he won for us the gift of salvation. He won for us the gift of rest. Humility goes against the vices of and sin of pride, thinking that we know better than God, thinking that we should be the center of our universe and not the one who created us and loved us before we were born, thinking that the pursuit of all the things of this life is preferred to the wealth in heaven. When we pursue those things, when we turn our back on God, that is when we are in unrest. That is when we are allowing the burdens of this world to crush our spirit. But when we place our life in God's hands, when we say yes to him, when we depend on him, that is when we receive that gift of peace and that rest that Jesus is willing to give us all. Jesus did it, of course, by embracing the cross. That is how he removed the punishment of sin and death. But that is what gives us eternal life. That is what assures us of Jesus' presence in our lives, helping to give us rest from our burdens, helping to give us peace, a peace that comes from knowing that we are destined to live forever in heaven. It is that prospect of eternal life, as well as Jesus' continual presence in our life, that allows the burdens that we carry to be light, that allows us to embrace the crosses that are in our life. Jesus, the King of the universe, is beckoning to us all. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. We can experience some of that rest in this life whenever we say yes to God, but we will experience the fullness of that rest and peace in the life to come. So in just a few moments, we will once again encounter our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the Eucharist. As we do so, let us ask for an increase of that virtue of humility, trusting that God wants the best for us, trusting that God's plan for each of us is preferable to any plan that we have, trusting that that Jesus' guarantee of rest can only come when we embrace the cross along with him. That is what allows us to focus on our ultimate destination, eternal life in heaven.